And we welcome in the head coach of the Browns on another Victory Monday. This is getting to be a nice routine.
Yeah, it feels good, actually. I'm just happy for our team that once again we found a way to make enough plays to win. These are tough games and hard fought, my goodness. And we found a way to make it a little easier in the fourth quarter, but these things are never over till they're over.
Sure. And resilience was the theme once again. After giving up that big play, that 80-yard touchdown run, and I know as a coach you're sitting there, you know there's a lot of game ahead that you really can't focus on one thing. But if you could share with me what you're thinking when you see that, and then how you sort of – what's the response from you?
Well, immediately the sideline was, okay, let's just keep playing. You know, and we had a similar situation against Pittsburgh where we had the tip ball and we had the pick six, and then we went back out and just kept playing. And then we went down, got a field goal, made it 7-3. Then, of course, Travis Benjamin's long punt return, I guess longest in history.
Yep.
You know, put us up 10-7, and now all of a sudden you said, okay, we're back on track here. You know, we took a punch to the gut and survived it, and now we got to just keep playing.
I know this is a game-to-game focus, but I got to ask you anyway. How do you feel about the traction when you get three in a row? What is it telling you about this team? What is it telling you about the nature of the season to go from 0-5 to something like this in this stretch run here?
Well, I think the players need to be proud of the fact that we're learning how to win games. You know, it's hard to win a game in this league, and you got to find a way to finish each one. And each game plays out differently. And I think I have to credit our guys, because if you don't continue to play hard, if you don't continue to believe, then it never happens. And somewhere in there, that chemistry in our locker room, we got an outstanding locker room. You know, they found a way to just keep believing, keep playing, and we've had some of the success that you want to have.
Other than just seeing it happen, Coach, and having the right people who mm-hmm. respond the way you're mm-hmm. talking about, what about the message that you have to deliver? Let's start from week one all the way through to week 14, that you deliver to these players in the various meetings, the one-on-one conversations, to where you're making your point about those very things you need them to do about playing hard and being persistent, and not making it so overbearing that they start tuning you out. You must balance that, right? I mean, how do you get that across?
Yeah, I think, well, you get a feel for my style, of course, when, you know, I talk with our local media. But I think what's important is you got to make the message very clear. You got to try to say it in as few words as you can. And you just direct the players, and, you know, the leaders and the guys in the locker room that get it then help the young guys understand it. And I think that's what's important. And, you know, it's in some ways easy because you hit the reset button every week, mm-hmm. win or lose. Mm-hmm. And so you start the process over again. And then, you know, your preparation, you carry through your preparation either with the confidence that you have because you won previous, or the confidence and determination or whatever it is that, you know, you're trying to win because you lost. And so these guys are very professional. They always understand the message, and I'm proud of the way they respond.
Can you point to any particular thing that's maybe a little different or very different now or in these last, say, few weeks that you know, that wasn't there in the beginning of the season from this club? Is it a combination of health factors, you know, having guys like Phil Taylor back and different things, or can you summarize it in any one point that you see differently in your team?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. You know, the message all along when you're not winning football games is, you know, a great effort isn't good enough. And we've got to find a way to make more plays than the other team. So, you know, then they got to start to do that. You know, I was talking this morning about how we've had 72 starts by rookies, and I think the next closest team would be 44. And so, as you might expect, there's a lot of guys learning how to do this at this level all together. Yeah. And, you know, it's got to be a coordinated effort. And so, you know, they're playing better together. I feel good about the progress we're making. And I can say that now because we're finding a way to win games.
And that has to be a source of gratification. Winning is the gratifying thing, period. But particularly so when you just cite a stat like that with your rookies, for you and your coaches, because you obviously have to coach up rookies, there has to be a little extra level of gratification.
Yeah, I think everything, you got to really keep an eye on every little thing when you're dealing with guys doing it for the first time. And I feel really good about the staff of guys that are really leading and inspiring these players.
Pat,
They're doing a good job.
I'm sorry. Pat Shurmur, the head coach of the Browns, joining us as he always does on Mondays here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And, Coach, there were so many things that went into this victory. We can start talking about the defense and again, keeping a team to 7 points for openers after, again, that first bad play. Being resilient with that, getting a turnover when it was needed, getting pressure on the quarterback, bottling up the run as it went along. What else can you tell me? And from the defensive effort, the scheming, how pleased you were with all of that?
Well, I think that what's important is we put that one bad play behind us, and then we got back to playing fundamental football. And, you know, after that, they had one more big play in the game. Otherwise, for the most part, we controlled their efforts to score points, and I think that's what's important.
And then you had, of course, special teams do their thing and have that big return by Travis Benjamin, and he told me after the game, he said, yeah, this is the first of many. I mean, the kid feels a sense of confidence.
Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yes, exactly. So you got more of those to look forward to. But just that rare speed and to go along with Phil Dawson doing his thing, but your coverage too. You're ranking high in all these categories of kickoff coverage and such, and keeping teams you're winning that field position battle.
Yeah, I think Chris Tabor and Sean Menega, they teach a very, very sound, aggressive scheme. Again, the players are bought in. They're playing hard. We got a lot of youthful linebacker, safety-type guys out there doing it. And, you know, they're kind of inspired to be one of the better units in the league, and I think that drives them to play hard.
From an offensive standpoint, again, your running game doesn't show up as any impressive stats at all, but it just was plugging along. And again, when you got down by the goal line, Trent Richardson twice gets in the end zone. I mean, it's a little different because you expect a guy who is having that kind of success scoring for you to also have a lot of yards per carry average, and he really doesn't. But that is the way opponents are playing you, and it's not discouraging you from keep slamming it in there.
No, Trent needs to touch the football for our offense to be successful, and most of the time that means handing it to him. And I think he did a good job running the football. We knew, and I talked about it all week, this is a very stout front. They've got some outstanding players on defense, and it was going to be a challenge for us to carve out yards and score points. And so, you know, I think it's important that you stay consistent with the run game. There'll be games here where we don't run it as much as some folks think. Or what some people think is balanced 50-50. But the important thing is you do what you have to do to score points. And in most of the games we played in the last 6 or 8 weeks, the scores were tight enough where we could continue to run the football throughout. And then, of course, when you get ahead of a team, you can then get 5 or 6 or 10 more carries than you might have if you're coming back on them. And so that's all good.
Your passing game, once again, those shallow crosses and in general the routes that you are designing, guys are getting open. Guys have room around them when they're catching the ball and they're able to make run after catching. It just looks like once again, Josh Gordon's game continues to elevate. Greg Little, outstanding performance by him. All of that it seems to be coming together nicely.
Yeah, I think they're making progress, and again, it's got to be a coordinated effort from starting with the protection. And then the quarterbacks and receivers being on the same page, and then fitting within the scheme. And, you know, we have pass plays designed to go to all of our receivers, and I think we had production. We had solid production from 5 different guys yesterday, which was good. And, you know, I still think we left a lot of meat on the bone in terms of the passing game. There's a lot more out there, and that's the good part. You work on improving that, but you do it with the confidence that you found a way to win, even though it wasn't perfect.
And which brings up Brandon Whedon, because for yet another game that's a win, you can find some rough spots within his performance, but you also can find the way he keeps bouncing back. He doesn't let the batted balls or the nearer picks or something, or the picks as he had in Oakland, throw him off. And the most important thing, as you said earlier today, he didn't turn it over. But all in all, he keeps himself together, right? What are you seeing in him that encourages you about his mindset?
Well, he can play throughout the game, and he's always got the confidence that he can go in there and make a difference playing quarterback, you know. And he did some good things yesterday. He threw a couple away that are good decisions. He scrambled and got yardage on a couple of occasions, which is important, which are, you know, it's very important. Like all quarterbacks, and you'll hear him say this, you know, I got a couple balls I'd like to have back.
Mm-hmm.
You hear that quite frequently, you know, and for whatever reason, they go in the bad decision category, and that happens to all quarterbacks, you know, and every quarterback will have a play or two in the game where they say, gosh darn it, I wish I'd have thrown it here, or you know what, yeah, I see what happened, you know, and you just got to learn from it.
When we bring up rookies, we often bring up the obvious, Trent Richardson and Brandon and so forth, Travis Benjamin. But I just want to ask you about a couple of guys that I think are showing up in this radar as guys that maybe don't get mentioned enough. One is Mitchell Schwartz and the job he's doing at right tackle. Two is Tashawn Gibson and what he's done in the secondary for you. And three is Craig Robertson. It just seems like they don't get talked about enough, and they're doing some outstanding work.
Yeah, Mitchell yesterday was challenged quite a bit. They had some pretty good edge rushers, you know, but he's for the most part done a good job going in there and played a lot of good football for us for a rookie, and he's continuing to improve, and so feel good about his progress. Craig Robertson, I thought he played an outstanding game yesterday. He did, you know, he was right most of the time. He made a lot of tackles, and you know, one that comes to mind was they threw the ball in the flat to Peyton Hillis on a third down. And I've seen numerous times where the running back makes the linebacker miss or edges them and gets what was needed for the first down, where Craig did a good job of, you know, basically stopping. And then, of course, Gibson, the next guy we want to talk about, came and finished it up.
Yeah, and of course, he has that heady interception. The Redskins coming up. Is it more of a difficulty to prepare with Robert Griffin III having that knee injury and you're not sure 100% whether it's him or Kirk Cousins starting quarterback? How does that impact the preparation?
Well, we get ready for the when it comes to the defensive side of the ball, we get ready for the Washington Redskins offense. And they have elements of the drop back pass. They have the play action game. They line up in the pistol, and they run option. It is a challenge because what they do is more varied. And it's smart what they do. They're taking advantage of the skill and ability of the quarterback that they have in RG3. And so you have to prepare for all the elements regardless of who's playing quarterback. And my sense is that RG3 is a fast healer. And, you know, we can't stop the progress of our preparation worrying about who's going to play quarterback. We just got to get ready to play him, and then whoever shows up, we got to fight our best to control their efforts.
Pat, I know how much you value fan support and how big it is for this football team to have folks there. And I just wonder, as you look at this, this is the last regular season home game scheduled against the Redskins. How do you see that as far as the fan involvement and getting them out there and their support?
Well, we want to be able to develop a home field advantage, and we've found a way to win, you know, five games, and four of them at home, and I think that's outstanding. And we obviously love the fact that our fans have an opportunity to watch us play winning football, and you know, it inspires us in a lot of ways. And we have an outstanding fan base, and at least the last few weeks, we're glad that they're in the stadium, able to enjoy it with us.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right.
He is Pat Shurmur, the head coach of the Browns, joining us as he always does on Mondays here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.